The scripture reading this morning is the first psalm. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Well, speaking of Veterans Day, I had a kind of special opportunity. Doesn't happen very often, but had a call from the hospital chaplain this week, and there was a gentleman in there that had been served as in Navy and the Army, 30-year service, had been in both of them, I believe, and had been talking to folks and served two tours in Vietnam, and just had grown up in the Methodist Church for a little bit of time and then left after childhood and never went back to church again, and was at this point where he thought, I want to get baptized. And so he's like, and I want to get baptized by a Methodist pastor. So yeah, I got the call and went and sat by his bedside and performed his baptism. We had communion together, and it was a special moment, and got to hear a lot about his life and his service and some other things in life. And so, you know, friends, you just don't ever know, right? Like when you have these conversations with people, and they seem like not listening, not interested, and yet sometimes people make a decision that they've maybe always wanted to make. And so it was a good moment. Also want to share with you all that we have... And I think many of you all know this, but our family has picked up a foreign exchange student. We've picked up a new child. So Kim and I now have a girl living with us, and her name is Mason. And Mason is a senior at the high school. And she is from Tunisia, North Africa. And so we're thankful to have her with us. She's been with us just for 4 days now. And it was funny because last Sunday, Kim was in my office, and it was right before church, and she had gotten a text, and is like, hey, how do you feel about having a foreign exchange student live with us? Well, when are we thinking? Oh, Wednesday? We probably need to talk about this after service. So we talked about it. We're excited to have her. She's been here since August, was in a different host family, and just wasn't a good fit, and so we're thankful to have her with us. And so you'll probably see her around some with us, and but thankful for that addition to our family. And then last, I do want to point out, I think across the street, Pastor Matt over there, this is his last Sunday with First Baptist. And I think they're having a going away thing for him today. And so since they are our neighbors, just thoughtful, mindful of Pastor Matt and his movement on to other things. And so his service to that church and to our community for all these many years. So just thinking of him this morning. Today I want us to spend some time discussing some important questions. It's really one question. I want to ask this one question really well. And so sometimes when we want to get one question across really well, we ask a handful of questions. John Wesley, as many of you know, father of Methodism, the Methodist movement, he trained up pastors to serve in the early movement before it really even had a name, when it was just in this movement infancy stage. He believed in asking good questions. Oftentimes, he liked to ask the same questions over and over again because he felt like that was important, that we continue to hear the same questions that are most important in our lives. And the one question that he would ask early Methodist pastors over and over again that was, how is it with your soul? How is it with your soul? This is both a spiritual question, but it can also at times be an emotional question. How is it with your soul? Today we have a specialized area of concentration for pastors, priests, lay people that really focuses on the use of these types of questions to really focus in on the question, how is it with your soul? And it's called spiritual direction. Spiritual direction. Spiritual directors are people who have pursued this type of certification or degree. And it's a kind of a specialized field within our spiritual religious people groups. I've received spiritual directions at time professionally, but just rather inconsistently, not ever real consistently. I prefer time with a pastoral coach, is who I tend to work with over a spiritual director, but I do see the importance of spiritual direction and receiving that often in life. Though you may have not ever worked with a spiritual director, though maybe some of you have, it's likely that you've done that kind of work and not known it. When you spend time in prayer, you're receiving spiritual direction. That's what you're wanting. When you read your Bible and you're going there to seek God's guidance and instruction for your life, you're receiving spiritual direction. When you talk to a faith friend who maybe instead of offering you their advice and telling you what you should do, they ask you hard questions that make you think more about your own faith, then you're receiving spiritual direction in that moment. A couple weeks ago, I entered into my own spiritual direction process. It was one of those especially cold days when the high was 34 degrees. If you remember, that was a couple weeks ago. Just hold on. We've got that to look forward to for, you know, the next couple months here soon. And so I sat in our dining area at home, and we've got a large set of panel glass windows in our kitchen. And I remember having the full view of the backyard from that place. And there I could see many of the trees and fall colors, the reds, the oranges, the yellows. It's not my backyard, but you get the picture, right? And as I sat in that spot with my coffee, my devotional material, I spent time in quiet meditation and prayer. And that's when I received the thought that became the inspiration for this sermon that I thought, oh, I need to talk to my folks about this. What if, here was the thought that just came into my mind. What if on your body you had a window? And within that window, one could see the contents of your soul. The question, how is it with your soul, could be answered with, well, come here and I'll show you. I'll let you see how it is with my soul. And then it would be easy for people to see without really having to explain it, to think about it, to process it. But without those windows that we currently do not have, words are sure helpful for us to be able to use and to utilize. The psalmist does an amazing job weaving words together in order to paint this type of picture for us. Psalm 1 is the example of what a soul in great condition might look like. Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. That person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season, and whose leaf does not wither, whatever they do prospers. And so I imagine that tree to be a lush green tree, maybe with lots of fruit or apples on it. And it sits right next to this bluish, clear stream. Stream's about 10 feet wide, you know. The sun glistens, reflects like 1,000 diamonds off the stream onto the tree leaves. The psalmist is using a tree as a metaphor, right? The psalmist is seeing the stream and the fruit in this metaphorical sense. And so the tree is a person. The fruit is the deeds and actions of that person's life. And the river is the law of God. The law of God. Now, for a Jew, a Jewish person, to know the law of God is to know the heart of God. And the Old Testament law is the Ten Commandments. You know, it's about the Ten Commandments, but it's more. You get into the book of Leviticus, and the book of Leviticus really details this Ten Commandment notion of the law of God and how to live into the law of God in all aspects of your life. And so a faithful Jewish person believes that to understand and love God's law is to understand and love God. Therefore, the river in Psalm 1 is a beautiful representation of the nurturing effect that a river would have on a nearby tree. Now, for us as Christians today, we have a different relationship with the law of God than the Jewish people do and did. We believe there is, for us, a better representation of the heart of God than the law. What is it that we believe, or maybe who is it that we believe is the better representation of the heart of God? Jesus. We see a person in that place instead of a thing. And so there's a story in the New Testament that I think uses this water metaphor in a very similar way. In John 4, we learn about Jesus' encounter with a Samaritan woman at the well. Jesus is asking her to draw water from the well in order for him to drink. And they're having some bantering conversation back and forth as this is happening, which creates a small argument between Jesus and the woman. And rightfully so, they come from very different cultures and communities and even religious backgrounds. They see God similar, but still very different. But amongst that argument, Jesus offers her living water. And he says it like this in verses 13 and 14 of John 4. He says, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again." He's referring to the well water. "But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." Jesus is the living water, very similar to the stream in Psalm 1, very similar concept and understanding, just a different use of metaphor. But the difference is that the law of the Old Testament is a thing. Jesus, the Christ in the New Testament, is a person. And so Christianity invites you into a relationship with a person as experienced through, like, you can't sit down with Jesus in person. We know that. But there are ways that we connect to the person of Jesus through prayer and worship and scripture, and relationship to other Christians, fellowship, and service. These are all ways that we understand and live out the life of Jesus Christ. Jesus is living water, and to taste of the life that he offers is a spiritual experience. We as Christians embrace spiritual experiences. It's why you're here this morning. It's why you're in worship. You're having a spiritual experience. About a month ago, I was meeting with my pastoral coach that I was talking about, that I meet with regularly. He suddenly slipped on his spiritual director hat because he's taking his classes on how to do spiritual direction, so I get to be his guinea pig every once in a while. Yay me. And he asked me something that makes me think spiritually, and he says to me this. He says, "Jim, do you have living water within you? You have living water within you." And he was taking a moment to sit outside the window of my soul. He was asking for permission to peer inside and to have a talk. And so we talked for a while about how I was in a relationship with Christ in a way that was bringing a sense of calm and confidence to all the difficulties that I'm currently facing. And we're having this conversation because sometimes I forget that is my relationship to the living water, that's what the living water provides me, that I don't visit with the living water enough to get grounded in that sense. And so he's kind of prodding me in this. Remember this, Jim. So today I want to provide you with a similar opportunity. I want to sit at the window of your soul, and I want to ask you three questions. Maybe these are questions you can journal about later. You want to sit down and reflect on these things a little more deeply. Maybe you can answer them right now in the time that is allotted to us this morning. But let's pretend that you are, in fact, one of John Wesley's pastors in the late 1970s. And Pastor Wesley wants to know, how is it with your soul? Remember, this is both a spiritual question, but also an emotional question. If we stick with the psalmist metaphors of trees and rivers and the outdoors, I might ask you, what season is it right now for you and your soul? Is your soul in a summer season or a winter season? Is your soul in flux now? Is it feeling like spring? Is it feeling like fall? If you would say summer, then you would say it's an optimal season for you right now in your life. Your soul is in great health. You're experiencing a season of planting and harvesting in your relationships. You're investing in other people, and you're seeing the fruit of those results. Emotionally, you feel strong. You're fearful of very little because you're grounded in the solid rock that is Christ. Summer is where we desire to be in life. It's where we want to get, and yet it can be a struggle sometimes. And so maybe this morning you'd say, Pastor Jim, really, I'm probably in the opposite season. I'm in winter. Winter season. Winter is a cold time. It might feel like a season of great loss for you. You might feel very distant from God in a winter soul season. You might feel distant from others. You might feel distant from the life of the church. You may still attend, you may show up, but it's kind of with an arm out as it relates to relationship and doing things and getting involved. You're really here because you sense that you really need to be here. It's hard to think about planting or harvesting in others' lives right now because you feel so dry and cold and parched spiritually that you just are in a receiving time. Spring and fall are transition seasons. They're a time of movement from one season to the next. Something has happened in your life and you can sense a change inside. Something's changing in you. And it could be the result of something hurtful you experienced, and that hurt led to great loss and separation. It could be that you've done valuable spiritual work. You've been doing good spiritual work, and you've entered into a new stage of forgiveness or greater faithfulness to God, and it's leading to fruitfulness in your life, right? It's not there yet, but you're working the ground. You're beginning to go get the seeds that you will begin to plant. So I just want to pause for just a moment, which happens to be very important and uncomfortable with spiritual direction, is all the pausing that is done. And I want to give you a chance to name the season that you believe you're in. Are you spiritually and emotionally in summer, winter, fall, or spring? And so I'm just going to have a moment of silence, and not for you to say out loud, but for you just to be able to name it within yourself. So let's pause for just a moment for you to name the season. The next question after how is it with your soul is, what is your plan to cultivate your soul? Your soul needs cultivating, right? Just like soils and trees and crops, to lead to crops. And some of you just thought, well, I'm in summer mode, Pastor. Like, I'm in it. And so that's wonderful. Maybe you're not in need of cultivating right now. You're going after it. But it's likely that many more of us are in seasons of fall or spring or winter. So what is your plan to cultivate your soul so that it begins to move towards a greater season of fruitfulness for you in your life? Because once again, that's what we all desire, what we hope for. How will you draw near the living water that Jesus offers us in order to cultivate your soul towards greater health? A couple weeks ago, I introduced a new small group opportunity, the Growing Stronger Groups, and it's in your bulletin this week. It's a group experience, allows you to participate in as often as you need it, and the goal is it's a place to begin to cultivate your soul with others. How are you experiencing the heart of God through relationship with Jesus Christ, through prayer and scripture and service and worship, or whatever it might be that leads to a good place for you spiritually. And so a growing stronger group is an opportunity to talk with others about cultivating work. And I would remind you that sign-up sheet is sitting right out here, and we have opportunities coming up if you'd like to participate in one of those. But that's just one way. That's just one opportunity to move from thinking about it to talking about it to doing about it. And the goal is to move to a place where we decide to do these things, to do this work of cultivating. The goal is to take time out of your day to drink the living water that is in front of you. So let me give you just another minute, ask another question. This week, what do you plan to do in order to cultivate your soul? So let's pause for a moment in this time of silence for you to think about that. Now, my last question to you is this. Now that we've talked about the season of your soul, the cultivating work of your soul, the last question is, who else will you allow to regularly sit at the window to your soul and assist you with this work? I appreciate it. Many of you come to worship every Sunday for this very reason. You come to this place. I'm honored that I get a moment out of your week to hopefully do soul work with you. And to peer in and to visit in this way. But friends, we all need other people that we can trust. People who will ask us questions about the state of our soul. Friends who will listen and hopefully not judge us. And so this could be a Sunday school teacher that you want to spend some more time with and talk about these things with. It could be a friend in the choir that you want to visit with and know better in this way. Could be somebody, maybe not even in our church, it's just somebody you know. It's a friend of yours in town, and they attend a church and have a strong faith life, and you admire that and respect that. But I need to remind you that the Jewish people knew the heart of God because of a thing they know about, and that's the law. We as Christians know the heart of God because of a person known as Jesus Christ. We have living water through a relationship with God. And so for us, in many ways, relationship is always the key. I mean, whether you unlock that door or not, relationship is the key. Relationship is not a what, relationship is a who. Who will you allow into a sacred space in your life? Who will you allow to sit at your window and speak into your life? Who can you talk to this week in spiritual terms? And so let's pause for the last time as we consider who it is that we can allow into this space to talk with us about such sacred things. So if we pause for just a moment and to think about who. Soul work is important work. Thank you for letting me offer some spiritual direction to you today. Even though I'm not certified, I am certifiable, right? As you all know. So thank you for answering these three questions. How is it with your soul? What season would you say your soul is in? What is your plan for cultivating your soul? What's your plan to move towards greater health in your spiritual, emotional life? And who else will you allow to sit at the window and assist you with the work? Who is the person or people that you trust to have these types of conversations with? This week, let us all drink the living water that is Jesus, and you will be like a tree that is planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither, and whatever they do prospers. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day, and thank you for for people who ask us hard questions that make us think about our spiritual condition, our emotional condition, that make us think about oftentimes the work that we need to do in order to grow in these areas. Lord, help us. Sometimes we get stuck. We forget that we have control over these things, that we have power in our lives to make decisions to move towards greater health. So, Lord, for anyone in this room that today feels stuck, help them get excited, help them get unstuck, help them make choices this week to move towards the living water, that we might all drink of you, Jesus, living water, and that we might have fruit in our lives as a result of drinking fully. Thank you for this morning. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.